concludes another episode of the Man Under Construction podcast. I want to thank you, each and every one of you out there who have taken the time to listen today, who have taken the time to out of your busy schedule to listen to this podcast. And this podcast comes at a weird time in our life right now. We got the crisis going on, the pandemic with the virus going around, and we're going to jump into that with our guest today. But before we do that, I want to thank God for being with me, actually being with us as we journey through this strange time. It's something that we have never been through, and I know that the only way we're going to get through it is together. So I ask that, you know, you guys out there reach out to a family, reach out to friends, connect with each other, because the only way we're going to get out of it is together. So I want to thank God for being with us, and thank God for giving me the strength to stand up and rise and lead my family in this uncertain time. And he's the reason why I'm here. He's given me so many chances in life, and I've been able to pick myself up as a man because of him, and I thank God for that. I also want to thank my wife Sheila, who has been a number one fan of the Man Under Construction since it opened. Since the first day that it opened, she's been by my side, and she's been encouraging me and watching my growth, and she acknowledges it. And hearing those words from her really means a lot to me, because she sees the weaknesses in me. She sees the dark times in me, and yet she still chooses to encourage me and love me just the same. So I want to thank her for that. And she's an amazing wife. She's beautiful. She's hot. And I know she listens to it, so I always want to score brownie points, I'm sorry, even when I'm on the podcast. So I love you, Sheila, and thank you for all that you do. So like I said, we got a special guest today, and we've had him on before. He is the creator and the host of The Edge of Adventure, and the man that's going to join us, his name is Adam Asher, and he's going to join us via Zoom. And here we go. Welcome back to the Man Under Construction podcast, and we have the Man Under Construction's one of the most favorite guests that we've had on the podcast, my man Adam Asher, the host of The Edge of Adventure, and he joins us. He looks like he just came back from a safari, and he joins us, and we're going to chat man to man. We're going to talk about different things, talk about his latest venture. We're going to talk about what's going on today and how we can overcome, and how real it is and how it's affecting our men and how we need to step up and rise up. Welcome, Mr. Adam Asher.
Well, thank you so much, Michael. Great to be back with you. Yeah, I think it's been a few months, I guess. It was, what, late last year when we had our first conversation. It was a great conversation. Enjoyed being on the show. And yeah, here we are. You and I had talked about getting, you know, together again to do another interview, another chat, and catch up. We didn't know when we first talked about it that it was going to be during such unusual, confusing, challenging times. I think we're all reeling from that, kind of figuring out what's changed, what hasn't, and also determining what our next steps are as men and leaders for our families and so on and so forth. So it's a challenge. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I know it is for you, and it is on this end as well, just as it is for everyone who's listening.
Yeah, it's definitely challenging times. And once again, thank you for joining us, taking the time in. I think it's under the circumstances, it seems a little unfortunate, but I think it's a great opportunity to get back to connecting. And I know that a lot of us get caught up with the busyness of life that we forget to connect. And sometimes it's unfortunate. Some things happen, but it makes us realize that, you know, we got to get back to who we are as human, as individuals, who we are as a people, connect and let others know that we're not alone. So it's definitely crazy times, but we can look for that silver lining. We can look at the light in the distance, the hope that we can come together and encourage each other, be there for each other, and let everyone know that they're not alone, and we got this. We can get through it, and we will get through it together. And that's the key. That's the key word right there. Together, we got to do this together. If not, we'll just prolong our situation. We'll just keep extending the situation that we find ourselves in. But if we can get together, we'll come out on the other side a lot stronger. So, thank you Mr. Adam Asher, for taking the time to sit with us. And we'll jump right in. We'll dive right in to see what Adam is doing. Recently, you took a trip in my backyard, really. not literally, of course, but very close to, you were in Reynosa, which is really just 30 minutes from my hometown. So you took a trip to Mexico, and you mind sharing us how that went, your experience, or what it was like?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, your hometown is what? What is hometown for you?
Well, it's in the valley, is what it's called. But there's McAllen, Brownsville, Weslaco, Mercedes, Donna, and just go 30 minutes south from there. Of course, you got other cities like Progreso, Hidalgo, that are just right on the border.
Right.
But I'm just one of those cities. You just go like 30 minutes in, and I'm right across awesome. The border. Yeah. So that's. I would consider that my backyard.
Yeah. Well, I had the opportunity to go to Mexico recently, and that was fantastic. Just as a side note, I have been going to Mexico for a long time. I started going to Mexico as a teenager, I guess, my first trip. I was, I think I was 14, maybe 14 when I went the first time, and then had the chance to go back many, many times, numerous times. And then life got busy, different things, different projects, and all of those type things, and hadn't been to that part of Mexico in quite some time. It had been quite a few years without me making a trip back. And so a very good friend of mine, Brad Charles, who he and I have done a good bit of traveling together, and he gave me a call one day and said, I need you to come down to the work there in Reynosa, and then also their extended project, and we'll talk a little bit more about it, but Big Heart Orphanage and Children's Home has a second location now in the outskirts of Saltillo, Mexico. So they're doing work not only in Reynosa, which is a border town just across the border into Mexico, mm-hmm. and their second second children's home. It's a huge opportunity for growth for them. That's in Saltillo, not in the city of Saltillo, but on the outskirts. Mm-hmm. But yes, it was great to be back. And the trip did me a lot of good personally. It was a great way to reconnect with my roots.
Awesome, man. That is great. And like I said, that's very close to where I go, where I live. I'm sorry. And, I haven't been to Mexico in a while. I don't travel there as much as I used to when I was young, but it's a different life. It's I have family there. I had extended family there, and I would go with my friends to see their family, and it's a different life. But the people there, I notice are when you come into their home, they're so inviting, so warm. They'll give you their shirt off their back. They'll take you in like one of theirs, cook food for you. They make you feel like part of the family. So I do notice that. I do love that you go in and they make you feel like one of them. You're part of the family. And one thing I always remember is that they always want to cook for you, and not just cook for you a little bit. They want to stuff you. You get your plate. You finish it off, they want to give you some more. So
that's true.
They want to make sure you're well fed. But Mexico is a beautiful place, a beautiful people. And so what else can you tell us about that? I know you shared some footage on your page about that. Or is that still confidential, top secret?
Oh, no. Okay. It's not going to. It was great to be back. And what you're saying about the Mexican people is true. And I, get back to my history and my story. I started going when I was about 14 or 15, my first trips to Mexico. And we would do some work, not only in the cities, but out in, we might think of it as the country, out in the very, very rural areas. And the Spanish word, or the Mexican word for the sort of the districts that are out in the country that are very rural, and they're not cities, they're just almost districts, very rural districts. The word is ejido. And so we would work in los ejidos. And it was a you know, obviously shaped me. I mean, I think in large part I am who I am today because of those times. Mm-hmm. And you're right. When you go to, let's say, a village or a community out in the country, very rural, very poor, and you're received with open arms and love and acceptance, and they might not have a lot, but what they have is immediately yours. And you really can't even say no, because you just, their gift to you is so meaningful and so precious and scarce. I mean, I can think of times where I would be there meeting people for the first time, and they would welcome me in to their home. Again, it's not always poor, but quite often, and especially in that part of their country, would be. And people who live very isolated lives, and they would welcome you, have you sit down, feed you, and they would give you the food that for them is hard to come by. Yeah. For them, it's hard to come by. And they might get, when they, you know, they're going to give you the best that they have. And it puts things in perspective. It always was something that meant a lot to me. And I think I'm sure it helped to change and shape me. Okay. And yes, sir. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. You said earlier in your years, you said work. I'm not too familiar with, actually, is it like what you're doing now? Or you said work, was this like missionary work? Or what was it exactly?
Great question. So I started working with missionaries in Mexico, and they would do a variety of different things. They did a lot of what they did was humanitarian based, and they would help provide food and water and education to medical care to communities that might not otherwise have it. And I started when I worked with them, I mean, when I was a kid, you know, I was 13, 14 years old. And so I was probably more than anything, just a bit of a tag along at first, but over time was able to help them and serve them, and did that as much as I could through the years. And that, of course, led to meeting other people and other types of works throughout Mexico and in other parts of the world. But yeah, it is, for me, getting to go back and like, just recently turned 47. So congratulations, Adam. You made it 47.
You're still in your prime, brother.
I know. I'm not new anymore. And that's what I like. I'm not new.
You don't have the new car smell anymore.
Yeah, I'm not new. I've been through a thing or two. But to get to go back and to be in Mexico again after what had been many, many years, I think probably the last time that I'd been to that part of Mexico was probably in 07, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. So a lot of time had gone by, and it was just like going home for me, because like you said, the Mexican people, there is a very special warmth that they have and that they share.
Yeah. And I can totally relate to that. I know that I wasn't born in Mexico. I have I have relatives. My father was born in Mexico. He's Mexican all the way. And a lot of people don't believe me because I'm 6'1" and light complected with blue eyes. They're like, you're not Mexican. So, I noticed that culture, that culture of embracing you, taking you in as part of their family, has bled into, you know, a little bit of American life for not necessarily like for the descendants of Mexican nationals that grew up Americanized or in here in the States. And even now, like growing up, you know, a lot of my family with, you know, my great grandparents or grandparents from Mexico, they brought their culture. There we go. They brought their culture over to us. So even then, like when I would go to my, and it's funny because I have one, of course, grandma, one from my mother and my father, and from my dad's side, I would call her abuelita, and then from my mom's, I call her grandma. So there's, you know, there's that difference. But my abuelita, well, she passed away several years ago, but every time we would go, she would bring us. Of course, we were her grandkids, so she loved us to death. But as soon as we would get there, just part of the family, she didn't have a lot. She would just make us maybe some bean tacos, but those were the best bean tacos ever. And she was, every time we go, just that warmth, that family. And even, I even noticed it with friends and stuff, with their family. They're just so family oriented. They bring you in, they want you, they make you feel like part of the family. So I think that's part of their culture and a part of who they are, part of what makes them distinct. And it's beautiful. It's warm. And I think, especially in a time like this, we need to adopt that kind of stuff. We need to, of course, with consideration to social distancing, but I thought I'd throw that in there.
We didn't even know what that word was. I mean, it's a new cultural phenomenon, and it comes out of the crisis related to the coronavirus. And, you know, it's certainly, as we record this, it is in the news. It is the foremost on everybody's mind. It's affecting everybody's life. And you're right. I was thinking sort of the same thing as I listened to you describe that. The much of what you're describing, what makes that part of the Mexican culture so warm and beautiful and welcoming, is an appreciation for people. And also, in many cases, the people and who you're with at that moment, that takes precedent over whatever other activities or schedule you may have. Okay, so as an American, I can tell you, I'm used to, all right, I've got this amount of time, we can talk this long, and then I got to go, and I got this, and then I got this, and I got to move on, and there's this constant pressure, and I've got my cell phone, and it's keeping me in touch with all these people, but not really spending time with them, just in touch. And so, yes, if you go to a culture that, and as they've changed too, as mobile technology and the internet have changed through the years, it's changed all of us. But if you go back to the roots of their technology, I mean, their culture, you definitely do see that they enjoy having you as a guest. They enjoy you as a person. And frankly, they're happy if you'd stay 5 or 6 or 7 hours and talk all day. And, you know, as an American, sometimes I'm like, hey, I'm good for a little while. I'm talking, chit-chat, and I love this. But I'm like, at some point, I need to go. That's just because that's that culture clash. Mm-hmm. That's the American busy, busy mindset side of me that comes in. But it's great, and it's refreshing, and to be there. And of course, just again, to reconnect to a time in my life when I didn't know what was ahead. I didn't know what the future, you know, held for me. And that's been 30 years. That's been 30 years. That's even hard to comprehend. I mean, that's like Back to the Future kind of distances. That's 30 years.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Lots have changed.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because that is, I had a recent conversation, which talked about that. And it wasn't necessarily the Mexican culture, but this, another culture, the Indian culture, like Arab and like that Indian culture, they're very, very family focused. And I was having this conversation, and they mentioned that the separation, you know, brothers over here, family over here in another state, you know, way far apart, is relatively a Western idea. And they were telling me that even as they get older, all the family lives very close to each other. And I noticed that in the Mexican culture too, you know, like you got your aunt and uncles here, your grandma here, you may be down the street. And that's how I grew up here in the States. You know, my abuelita lived here just down the street. My aunt and uncles, maybe just, you know, a couple minutes down. Like everyone was really close together. And that separation, you know, that distance, you know, that you were talking about is just a Western idea. And actually we can go into a deeper conversation on how that affects everyone else, or how it's affected us, you know, that separation, not really close ties with our family and friends. But yeah, you brought the, you reminded me of that conversation, how it's, you know, an American thing that we create all this space between us. You leave me alone, you know, you're in your world, I'm in my world. And I just found it amazing that it's just not necessarily in the Mexican or Hispanic culture, but in different cultures that they're really close knit together. And being you, I'm sorry, you being the person who's gone, traveled and seen different cultures, do you see that relation as well, where people are a lot more close knit outside of, you know, our comfort?
I think so. And I always like to, remind people that every culture in the world has its good side and its bad side. I mean, we're all human, and, you know, there's a lot about American culture that is good. It's obviously our culture. We understand it more, Western culture. I mean, there's a lot about it that's good, but there's also some things, I'm sure, that some prices that we pay. And the Western culture, you know, you think about American culture, we get things done. That's what we do. We're doers, and we're busy, and we're thinking about business. And consequently, we may bump down, or at least a lot of us do, sort of bump down the priority list, the relationships and the people. Mm-hmm. So as you think about now, what's happening with the virus scare, and again, as we record this, it's fairly early in the crisis. This is the part where it is just beginning to hit the United States. And we're basically a week and a half into the social distancing awareness. Again, as we record this, that's kind of our perspective now. And I know things are going to change. Next week is going to bring new developments, so on and so forth. But now we're, people are missing the social interaction. They are missing, even though they may be able to reach out with a text, or they may be able to do a video call of some kind, they're missing their family. They're missing their friends. They're missing the ability to go and go to a restaurant and meet new people, or go to church. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are facing a cultural crisis, which, by the way, we're going to come through, but this is even for our busy culture, we're challenged. And I'm hearing from a lot of people who are lonely. Yeah. They're lonely because they are in their home doing what they're supposed to be doing, and they don't have other people around. And I just want to say, anybody who's listening right now who feels that way, my heart goes out to you. It's a very real challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is real. And just to reinforce what you were saying earlier, I was in no way saying that, our culture, American culture, was all bad. So I don't want that to be lost in translation. We do. I believe we lived in it. We live, or it, this is my opinion, my perspective. I believe we live in the greatest society in our time. You know, we're ambitious. We get things done. We have a lot of comforts that the rest of the world don't have. But like you said, with some of those great steps that we've taken, we have to compromise on certain other things that are just as equally as important, that being relationship and connection to other people. And I guess even when you look at it, the countries that, or the cultures that I'm referencing, and they're coming along technologically, but they have that aspect of the American life, but have a stronger bond between family. So it's all about balance and trying to find that time, prioritize what, it's a big monster.
And it is. And we're with the shakeup that we're currently undergoing, right? Where all this is happening, we've had so much change. The question, I think all of us are answering the question now, or if we're not already, we're going to be soon. What really matters, Michael? What really matters to me? Because I was busy and I had all this stuff, and I had the things before all this hit, all the things that I complained about and I griped about and the things I was worried about. And now those things are not really that important to me. I'm not that worried about those things anymore. I'm worried about these other things. And certainly there's the big type, sorry about that. I'm getting a call here.
You're a busy man. I get it.
No, I was like, what is this? That's the iPad. So let's turn the iPad off. I was like, my phone's over here.
It's all right, brother. Don't worry.
Too many screens, guys. Too many screens. I'll have to look back at how shocked I looked. I was like, what is that? But yeah, I think we're coming to a point where we're deciding what is important to us. That's our question. What matters to us? And are we about those things that are important? And I think one of the things that we've been reminded of is the fact that family is important. Friends, people are important. So this is a time in our nation. I wouldn't wish this on anybody. This is not a good thing. But we're going to grow through it. We're going to get through it. It's going to be painful, and at times it's going to be very daunting, but we're going to tackle it bravely, as I know you're doing and many people who are listening.
Yes, sir. And well, before the podcast started, I shared a little bit, and some of you guys out there might be going through this, and I wanted to share it. I wanted to let you guys know that, you know, you're not alone, or I'm immune to this, or some people think like that. To put an example, like I share a lot of stuff online through Instagram, and I share my story, and I get certain DMs, and they say, well, you're stronger than I am, or you're better at this than I am, which isn't the case. I am exactly like you. And I want to, and going back to what me, Adam and I talked about before recording the podcast, I let them know that today, as of today, today is 3/20/2020, Friday, and 2:38 p.m. Central. Earlier today, I got the news. You know, they called me into the office. I got the news that I was being laid off. And to be honest, it hit me really. You know, I was trying to muscle my way through it, you know, and just remain calm during that meeting. But it did hit me. I got in my car, and reality sunk, and it got real. Things got real for me, and I thought about my wife, my family. I'm like, oh man. And on this this journey that I'm taking through manhood, you know, I've jumped in deep into understanding the roles of a masculine man, you know, provider, leader, protect the family. And it really hit me hard, you know, that aspect, the provider aspect of it. I thought about it, I won't lie. My eyes got a little watery on the way home, and I got a little emotional. But you know, by the time I got home, my wife, I had texted her as soon as I got in the car, and I walked in the door, and she embraced me. She held me close and let me know that we're going to get through this together. So I wanted to share that with you guys out there who are listening. That, you know, this is very real, and it can be overwhelming. And that's okay. But the important thing is that we're going to get through this together. Don't lose hope. Don't be discouraged. It's okay to be, you know, afraid. It's okay to feel uncertain about the future. We all do. But don't let it dominate your every thought. Don't let it govern your choices from here on out. But remain strong, even though you may be in a tough situation like I have found myself in. But focus on the other aspects of being a man. You know, you're still a leader. You may not be able to provide temporarily at the moment because of, you know, forces outside of your control, but you can still be a leader. You can still be the father you need to be. You can still be the husband you need to be. You can still be the friend, the brother. And that's something that I was sharing with Adam, and I think it encouraged me to, you know, I got to put myself out there, let the guys know that it's going to be okay. We can be out there. So that's why I called you up. Hey, let's do a podcast, Adam. We got to do something. You know, things have slowed down. Let's do it. And we found ourselves here now talking about this stuff and sharing the experience that I just went through. And as of now, later today, you guys probably, as you hear the podcast, it would have already happened. But I'm going to do a live session on Instagram, try to connect with you guys who have been in the same situation. So, it got real for me. It got real for me.
Well, yeah, I'm going to say on behalf of the many people who follow you on social media, and that number continues to grow. It's I think are you a year into this project?
March, April. I think I'm a year
almost
into the project. Yeah.
All right. So you're a year in, and the growth of your platforms has been incredible. It's been amazing. And that is due to the fact that you are providing and you are leading in a way that the people are responding to it, and they like it and they need it and they're challenged by it. So obviously on behalf of the many, many followers that follow you on social media, I'm going to say, keep up that leadership because people need it. And we respond to it. It's inspiring. I know that your posts help me and inspire me. And I know that you have worked hard on those things as well. Now, the other thing I'm going to say is you're very open. I mean, this platform has never been about you pretending to be anything. You've always been very open. You've shared who you are. You've shared your journey. You've shared your struggles. And you're doing that now. You will have done that with the live feed as well, but even through this conversation, you're sharing in your journey with everybody else, and there's a sincerity in that and a humility in that. And then the other thing I want to say is there are many people who can already identify with what you're going through, mm-hmm. and given the situation in the nation, it's going to be more people. I wish I could say, no, it's over. This was a fluke. No, we are headed into some very difficult times, which is why I've said in other instances, please prepare while you can, because you don't know what the future holds. I'm not saying panic. I'm not saying be fearful. I'm not saying freak out, but prepare, because we don't know what the future holds. And we are on a journey now that as an entire nation and as the entire world, we're on a journey that we don't understand. We've never been down this road before. We're figuring out how to react, and it's going to affect a lot of people. So I want to say, brother, we stand with you. And I know and have all the confidence in the world that you're going to come through this. You're going to figure out the steps and the things you need to do. You're going to be there for your family, for your wife, and for your friends, and also for us, for the guys out here that look to you for leadership. And you are leading. We don't think you're perfect. We certainly don't think your life is perfect, but we know that there's great value in the leadership that you're providing. And so anyway, on behalf of everybody, we're here for you. Whatever that looks like, we're here for you. And we're thankful for you.
Well, I really appreciate that. That was, it touched my heart. It really touched my heart. I was, you almost broke me, brother. You almost broke me. I was about to shed a tear.
But ain't nobody going to break you. Ain't nobody going to break you.
But I really appreciate that. And we talked about in our first podcast together, I am pouring everything into this. As far as what my presence online on Instagram and through the podcast, and I'm glad that it's been received with open arms and received in a positive way, because the lack of leadership and the lack of men is needed so bad, and especially now, us as men need to rise up and lead. And not depend solely on government or someone to come through for us. We got to take care of ourselves. That's you got to take care of your family. That's what a man does. Takes care of his family. Doesn't wait for help to come, but looks for help, or provides the help with his hands through the work of his hands and through his able body. So the call to man is. I think it's louder than ever in these crazy times, and we need to step up to it. We need to rise. And if I can be a small voice in a small voice screaming on top of many voices, that's one thing I got to say. We got to rise up. We got to be strong. And I will admit I'm a little shaken by today's events, and I'm a little, I will admit that I am a little discouraged. But I'm digging deep, to continue. I'm digging deep to give me the strength to continue to be the man that I've been trying to be, creating, forging through the fire. And we need to step up. This is our time, and we got to do it. We got to do it.
I agree 100%. Yeah, this is our time. And I just want to be very clear. There's nothing about this that I like. I don't like the threat to people's health. I don't like the threat to the economy. I don't like the damage it's doing. I would never have chosen this. I don't want this. I don't want this for you. I don't want this for anybody else. I don't want it for me. This is not what I wanted. And, you know, it's affecting us all. It has already affected us, and it's going to continue to. But we don't have control over what happens to us. We only have control over how we respond. And when we get to the other side of this, and by the way, when we get to the other side of this, we're going to look back over it. And as men, as I speak on behalf of the men here, we want to look back and say, yeah, I was sucker punched. Yeah, I was caught off guard. Yeah, I had stuff taken from me that wasn't fair, but it didn't break me and it didn't ruin me. I stood in the gap for other people. I stood in the gap for my family. I rose to the occasion. That's what you want to do, because we're going to come through this one way or another. We're going to come through it. I don't know how long it's going to take, but we're going to get through it. We're going to get through it together, even though we're being told we have to stay apart, but we're going to get through this together. And think about that moment in time when you look back, and I'm talking to the guys now, I'm talking to all the guys out there. When you look back, you're not going to want to look back and be like, man, I freaked out. I panicked. I didn't provide leadership. You don't want that. Well, now's the chance. Now's the chance where you get to lead under very, very difficult circumstances. And it's not the first time in history that something bad has happened. It's not the first time in history people have had to sacrifice. It's not the first time in history that men have had to stand up and take the arrows and suffer through it and move on. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to do that. And we don't know what tomorrow holds or next week, but we all have to be prepared for that. We have to be prepared for that. And then when it hits us, we shouldn't be shocked. And then likewise, we should be able to stand in there for our other brothers as they take those arrows. And again, I don't know what it looks like, but you and all the me and all the people that follow you, we want to be there for you, brother. Whatever that ends up looking like, we want to be there for you as you go down this road, this journey. You figure it out. This is just going to be another story of victory that you will be telling one day.
I believe that 100%. I know we're going to come out this on the other side. And like you said, even with the social distancing, I think unity doesn't necessarily mean that we have to all be together, but or physically at least, but we can be together in mind and spirit. Our purpose can be united, and we can look towards the future, and we can be united in that aspect that we are going to come together and we are going to make it out on the other side. And we will. Like Adam was saying, we don't know exactly when. This is still relatively early on, but we will come out on the other side. And we will be victorious, and we'll come out a lot stronger. And really, all that depends on each and every man individually. If you're going to let it take you down, or you're going to come out victorious and learn the lessons that it teaches, even though it's not an easy test, you know, even though it's not an easy situation. And like I told you firsthand, I know, you know, I lost my livelihood, you know, what I bring home to the table. But I'm gonna keep forging, and I'm gonna keep going. If that doesn't happen for me, I'm gonna find other ways to keep going as we should. I told myself that, you know what, I'll podcast more. I'll go live and give encouraging words, and I'll look at the market, see what there is to do, to work. I can work from home. I'm gonna keep going. I'm not going to let this take me down. And you brothers out there shouldn't let it either. Before we start closing it off, I wanted to dig a little deeper with you, Adam. And I know I feel comfortable doing that. You've been very sincere and you've been very transparent throughout the course of our friendship and over time. But what are some deep lessons? I know you brushed up a little bit on it, but what are some deep lessons that you, as you sit right now, and you perhaps, you know, detach yourself from where you are and look at the broad scope of things. What are some lessons that you're getting from this and that you can share with our fellow brothers out there?
It's a great question for challenging times. So many challenges here. And wow, what is this showing me? And gosh, I'm going to just
caught you off guard again.
No, there's just so much. I mean, there's, I'm going to just list a few of the things and in no particular order, but just as they come to mind. First of all, I feel unprepared. I feel unprepared. And while you can never really be ready for a circumstance like this, I think there are people who were more prepared than others. Meaning, you know, do you have and do you keep a supply of food as a backup? Do you have and keep a supply of money as a backup? Do you have the savings to be able to weather things that you might not anticipate, you know? And I think that as a man, part of our responsibility is and should be to be prepared for these types of situations. And so, I mean, on the one hand, I feel like, okay, this is a reminder for all of us we have to be prepared now, get as prepared as we can. But for future such instances, we need to be better about being prepared. The temptation, of course, is to really fear. And especially like as you got some bad news today about losing your employment, you know, losing your job and being let go under difficult because of the, you know, economic situation. Now, you would be tempted. It could be tempted to fear, and I wouldn't blame you. But you're not going to fear because you're gonna channel that that concern into something productive. So yeah, I mean, we could fear. We shouldn't. We could get, you know, be a little bit assuming or presumptuous of the future, and we shouldn't. We should be prepared for bad times. I think it's also reminding us what's important because when you look out there and you have friends who have lost their job and other people who, these are all small things, but they seem kind of big. You know, people who had big expensive trips back to some place that they really wanted to go back to, maybe to visit their family even, and they spent all this money on it, and now what? Now they can't even go. And they've lost that opportunity. And you could just make a list of things already that people have already lost, and that list is going to grow over the next few weeks and months. I mean, I hope it turns around quicker than that, but we have to be prepared. So it's reminding me to prioritize what I really care about. What do I really care about? And it is shocking, though, to think the things I worried about a week and a half ago versus the things I'm worried about now, concerned about now, the things I'm focused on.
I mean, if you sit down and just think about that, that is a complete 360 or 180, I should say, not 360, 180, complete turnaround. You're right. A week ago, you know, we were minding our own business, going about our way. And now complete 180. It's causing us to dig a little deeper. And I wanted to when you mentioned you were unprepared, and I'm going to dig further, if I may, how did that feel? How did that make you feel as a man?
Oh, I don't think it doesn't feel good at all. I mean, you know, when you realize I could have done this, I could have been more prepared, I could have had this, and why didn't you? I mean, you were busy, you were providing for your family, you were doing good things, right? But we have lived in such a time of prosperity.
Yeah.
We have lived in such a time of ease that it's easy to forget and to not prioritize preparation. And, you know, I mean, are you kidding? We would, a lot of people make fun. They would make fun of the, you know, we call them the preppers.
The doomsday preppers, yeah.
You know, we would make, people would, I never made fun of them, but people would make fun of them. But you do think, yeah, I mean, there's so many ways that I need to be prepared. And it gives you, yeah, your question, when you know you've failed in a way like that, it doesn't make you feel like a man, but there's also no point in wallowing in that.
Oh, no,
you need
no.
to, you know, shift all. In it, change mm-hmm. your mindset and be like, all right, I'm going to man up. And here's an area that I need to do better in.
And that's, and I wasn't trying to wallow. What I was trying to do is show beyond the surface. And like I shared my story, like, I'm not an invincible man. Or I wanted to show the vulnerability. Like, you know, I was unprepared. It was a gut punch, you know, right where it counts. But you didn't stay there. You're using that, you know, unseen blow to the, you know, to the abdomen,
right,
as a lesson for the next one. So I wasn't trying to focus on feeling sorry, but I was trying to unmask, you know, a lot of the stuff that we hide behind our you know, the facades that we put in front of people.
Oh, yeah.
So I was just trying to show, you know, like, and for me, like I've told you, it was a straight just knockout punch right in the face. And yes, it's okay to feel a little down. Yes, it's okay to be fearful. Yes, it's okay to feel like you're less than a man temporarily, but then you harness that. And like you were saying, we don't wallow in it. We don't stay in it, but we harness it and propel ourselves to something better. So that's, I wanted to add that and also ask you that question just to show that because a lot of guys out there, I don't think they don't have a map. They take that gut punch and then they retreat and go into a corner. And I wanted to kind of open it up a bit to be kind of like a little guide, you know. You take that gut punch, you get back up. So
listen, whatever the gut punch is, whatever the gut, you know, whenever you get hit by something and it catches you off guard, and I mean, it's not the world's fault. I mean, it might not even be my fault, but I'm the one that needs to take responsibility for me and for those mm-hmm. I care about and for those that I have leadership over and that I've been given a level of authority over. And they look to me for leadership, you know, so you need to bounce back. You have to bounce back. And
that's exactly right.
It isn't fake. I mean, it has to be real. But if you're one of those guys that doesn't have a map and you've been, all this has been like it's been a devastating blow, like it has been to all of us. Don't retreat. Don't hide.
Don't collapse.
Don't collapse. Don't get lost on the internet. Don't sit and just veg out on television, mindless TV all day. Focus. It's okay to admit that you've screwed up in these areas, because we all do. And that ain't cool, but it is the way it is. It's part of being a human. But when you identify it, go after that weakness and fix that weakness in you.
That's
because
exactly.
as you begin to attack those things and push the weakness out and grow in these areas, you just become a bigger and better man. And you need that. And we need, like you said earlier, as we started the conversation, we need that. We need that. We need it now. And we need it now really, really badly. And by the time another 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks goes by, we're going to need it even more. So again, I go back to the fact that we do not have control over what happens to us. We do have control over how we react. And if we've made the mistake and we're partly to blame for something, we need to man up, assume responsibility for it, make the corrections and move forward. But do not give up and do not back down. We need you guys. The world out there right now needs you, and we need you bad.
Yes, sir. 100%. We need each and every one of us, and we need the men out there to rise. So Adam, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your words, you're sharing your wisdom, and I won't take too much of your time, much longer at least, but I want to thank you for taking the time and coming on here and just sharing a piece of your heart, sharing being vulnerable, being able to You know, when people see you, I mean, they see this Indiana Jones, you know, taking on the world. They see this tough guy. But I appreciate the fact that you can come on here, you know, take off the proverbial hat, put the lasso down, and you can be yourself and let us know that, you know, all these things that you're feeling are real. All these things that you're feeling are normal, but we can make it. So I want to thank you. I want to thank you for that.
Well, you're certainly welcome. And as I said earlier, you're an inspiration to me and so many guys, and we appreciate that. And we, you know, we feel the pain of that arrow as you took some bad news today. We feel that. We hurt with you. And now this is the third time I've said it. I don't know what it looks like, but count on your brothers out here to stand with you during this time. And yeah, look, I mean, I'm a blessed guy. I have so many great friends, and the following socially on social media continues to grow, and that's a wonderful feeling as well. But I like I've said before, I like that old expression that I heard, I think Jack Black used it at some point in some little something he was doing. I'm just some dude. Like, I mean, I'm just some dude. And what I do with the Edge of Adventure, and as I have a, you know, purpose behind what I'm doing, but the way that I've done it and the way that I intend to do it is to really live those journeys and those adventures with the people and to take you along. And you're on my journey. It's got its ups and downs. I've had some pretty low moments as well since all this has happened to the nation and to the people. I've had moments where I'm hurting, you know, sometimes it's for me and sometimes it's for other people. And I just think of why do we have to be going through this? And you know, I may not ever get an answer to that question, but we are going to get through it. And guys, we're going to man up, and all of us, ladies, you too, we're all going to be strong and we're going to pull through this. And it's going to help define us. So be ready for some refining.
We're definitely going to go through the fire. So Adam, thank you so much. And as always, you're a welcome guest here at Man Under Construction, and we'll do it again. I really enjoy our conversations, and I know a lot of people out there enjoy them as well. And I hope for all you out there, you walked away with something today. You know, I've mentioned Pandora's box. It's been open. And we got a lot of scary stuff out there. But at the end, hope comes out. So let's hold on to that hope. Let's hold on to the promise that things will get better.
So, well, after all, when you think about it, Michael, what good is hope? What good is hope when everything's fine?
That's exactly right.
Right. We get to hold on to that hope in the darkness. And we're going to learn to appreciate hope a whole lot more in the days ahead. So
100%.
God bless you, brother. Always an honor.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, my man.